Welcome to Michelle Speaks. I am your host, Michelle Lawrence. It's the middle of the week and the middle of the day, but you've tuned into the right show to get you over the hump. We will have riveting conversations about what I call the four W's: worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. This is your host, Michelle Lawrence. I am excited to have an hour with you each week to go over what I call the four W's: worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. Like every show, we're going to get it started right, giving acknowledgement to the one who's made this all possible by starting with scripture. And this week's scripture is 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th through the 20th verse, and I'll be reading the NIV. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I have just read for you 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th through the 20th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So now just imagine with me for a moment. You are about to host important guests at your home. You've invited them to reside with you because they've done such wonderful things for you and in your lifetime and for those that you love. You would roll out the red carpet with getting the house cleaned inside out. The lawn would be manicured. The landscaper would be there to make sure that the plants were there. There was pruning and mowing. All of these things would be done. A housekeeper would be in order if necessary to vacuum, to dust, and to wax, taking care of the interior. We would take every precaution to ensure that the house was immaculate. Well, how much more should we do to house the Holy Spirit? Our bodies are the temples that are referenced in this scripture. What are we doing? What are we doing to ensure it's clean with unclogged arteries, smoke-free lungs, nimble limbs, and strong muscles? How do we make room for the Spirit to rule and reside within us? Are we eating in moderation, working out consistently, decompressing frequently to avoid stress buildup? If we can assess this isn't happening regularly, then we are falling short of the expectations of the temple that he has given us. The time is now. It's time to get right. Christ died to restore us unto the Father, whom he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And as a result of his resurrection, he also sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. It is an amazing gift that God himself would send a piece of himself to reside within us. How more the right should we prepare our bodies to receive such a precious gift? If we would take the time to clean our houses from the inside out, that the lawn would be immaculate, how much more so should we prepare ourselves to be physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fit to house such a gift? We are equally concerned when they look at our houses. People see when they look at our houses. We are equally concerned what they will experience when they are in us, in our homes. We must be very careful for the same with our bodies. And not only are we talking about the physical aspect, but we're going to talk about even those things that we speak. So even as we are housing this vessel, it's not just about the physical contact, but are we speaking life or are we speaking death? Are we taking in things in our portals that will also poison us? What are we seeing? The things that we see, we begin to believe. And so what are we taking in? Again, this is the temple, right? We wouldn't have people looking into our houses and to find it look a mess. So what are we taking into this house? And then there's the hearing piece. Yet another portal into this vessel that he's given us to house the Holy Spirit. The things that we hear, we also begin to believe These are seeds that are planted and then are ultimately manifested. So the things that we take in, even through our hearing, are we vetting those to make sure that they are in alignment with the spirit and the gift that he's given to dwell within us? Or is that just pollution and garbage being poured in on top of the Holy Spirit? I want us to pay attention to this scripture as we spend some time today just talking about being open vessels to house the Holy Spirit, that a great work can be done in us and, more importantly, through us. It is our opportunity to make ourselves available to God, to be used according to his purpose and not that of our own. So let's begin today. Eat healthier, work out more frequently, govern what you see, what you hear, and what you say, so that the Spirit might live. And speaking of giving everything back to God, My Life, My Love, My All by Kirk Franklin.
Father, I just want to stop for a minute and just say I love you. Just want to tell you thank you just for being patient with me and just for giving me another chance. You've always been there for me, and you were the father that I never knew. I just want to say,
heard My Life, My Love, My All by none other than Kirk Franklin. Today's show is about wellness. We are going to address the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I could not be more pleased today than to have the guest that I have in the studio. But before we get to the guest, there's a couple of things I want to make mention of to set this up. It's a holistic approach to having a healthier you. We are talking about all facets of what make you who you are. And so if we are digging in into the mind, the body, and spirit, there are things that we need to talk about in terms of how are you feeding the body, how are you feeding your mind, and quite frankly, how you're feeding your spirit. We only get one body. We can upgrade and exchange a lot of things. We go and change houses, upgrade cars, exchange cars. We don't want to pay for a brand new one. We might get a certified one. Whatever we do, we can change all of those things. We cannot go back and say, you know what, Jesus, time out. I think I need an upgrade. on this body that you gave me, this vessel. And so more importantly, since we know that there are no exchanges, no rewinds, no starting, no I need to start over from 10 years ago, it's important that the maintenance is happening day by day by day. And so I am excited to have someone in the studio today who has taught me more about a holistic approach to taking care of a better me. She would see me sometimes and go, "You are way too stressed." And I would say to her, "Oh, no, what do you mean? I'm not stressed at all." She's like, maybe you don't see the bulges or the knots forming across your shoulders, but you are stressed out. And, you know, my workout routine with her was more along the lines of how do I take care of my of me in totality rather than how much weight am I going to lift and how much cardio am I going to get in. And so her name is Miss Vicki Goins. Welcome to Michelle Speaks, Vicki.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me. It's good to be here.
So glad to have you. And so did you know, I'm going to embarrass her just a little by reading, because she is more than just someone who works out. She is a certified trainer, y'all. And if you spent 1 hour, that's all it takes, I promise you, 1 hour with Vicki, and it's a difference maker. She's a certified personal trainer at G3 Health and Fitness. She has a bachelor's degree in biology, folks. She's had her certification since 1989 and has taught jazzercise classes ever since. She has expanded her passion and certification to include Zumba and Yoga Fit. She is successful a franchise, a presenter at national conventions, and participants on training DVDs. So quite an extensive background in fitness, and I'm just glad to have her in the studio to talk about being fit all around and not just through working out. So, Miss Vicki, take us on a journey. I know before we got the show started, we almost started pre-interviewing, but our other guest started that. I can't wait to talk about her in just a moment. But talk to us about what led you or where are the roots to this fitness.
Well, I have to say that I don't know if being a tomboy counts as the start of my fitness
career. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But that's pretty much where it started for me. You know, I liked jumping rope, climbing trees, playing baseball, doing all those things active.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it was hanging out with the boys, but I'm not going to say that. So we kind of started there. I was active in school. I ran track, and I was a cheerleader in high school. I had that little time off that everybody does in college where you're just too busy doing your thing to work out. And then in around the mid-80s, I learned about jazzercise and started teaching jazzercise classes at the end of the 80s. Actually, an injury from jazzercise kind of forced me to do some other things. So I looked into yoga. I got my personal trainer certification and just have been teaching group fitness and personal training since 19 blah, blah, blah. And just loving it. You know, my mom says that my cheerleading career just continued for the rest of my life, just being a cheerleader for people's health, for their well-being. And it's been a blast.
So cheerleading for people's health. Now, I could also give testimonials, but what drives this passion around you working with folks, not just in their physical being, but just in getting better and having more energy? Because that's some of the things you used to say to me. Your energy levels are low. You need to be more vibrant and decompressing. I mean, I heard more decompressing and stressing. What drives you in terms of wanting to cheerlead for people to find balance and to get mentally, you know, and physically fit?
I think all of us can probably point to somebody in our family or somebody that we love that has diabetes or heart disease or any number of things. So that's how I grew up, pretty much. You know, an uncle with this, an aunt with that. And my mom, who unfortunately passed away about 3 months ago, diabetes and heart disease. And so I think when you come from that background, you know, things were different for, you know, people that went before us. But we have all the information at our fingertips to really be as healthy as we possibly can. So for me, you know, I just felt that I didn't want that. And anybody that I could help to not go down that road or to minimize what the effects were of going down that road, I just felt like it was a duty for me to help.
Wow. And I'll tell you, I'm going to, you know, not steal your whole workout on the show, but talk about how you incorporate, as you talk about what to eat, how to eat, even when to eat. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that all fits into the program that you design. And it's custom. It's, you don't have this, here's a chart, you know, go make it happen. You custom tailor. Tell me more, or tell the listeners more about why you do that and what are the benefits to the person that you're training.
You know, it's not a cookie cutter approach. I always say that the fitness world, the eating world, is like Baskin Robbins. You know, there's 31 flavors because not everybody likes vanilla. So I think that you approach, people that want to be trained, first of all, finding out what their goals are, because everybody's goals are not the same. You know, I've trained people who just want to feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, I've trained people who want to gain muscle. I've trained people who want to lose weight. So, you know, for me, the first thing is, and you remember, Michelle, we had an intensive survey that you had to fill out, and we sat down and we talked about you. Mm-hmm. You know, what your goals were, how much time you had to devote to that, how important it was for you to make a change, and what kind of change you wanted to make. So I think we talk about what's achievable for people, you know, which is important, what their goals are, what's realistic for them, and then the steps to get to each one of those goals. And we have to be specific about that. You know, if somebody comes to me and they're like, I want to lose weight, that is nonspecific. Do you want to lose 5 pounds? Do you want to lose 5 pounds in 5 weeks? Are you trying to get into a wedding dress? Are you just trying to change the way you feel? So there's a lot of information that has to be exchanged between trainer and trainee for to be successful.
So if I'm, for the listeners and where to begin, what I heard you say clearly is to have a goal in mind and to have that goal be specific. Don't say, okay, I'm just going to lose 5 pounds, but to have a deadline or a date by which you want to accomplish this. And then even more so go into how, what is the commitment level? What am I willing to change, and work through all of those details. So it sounds like a plan, y'all. And so the first step in this plan is, do you have a goal? And then to flush out that goal. Would that be accurate?
Yes. And I would definitely call it a sort of an action plan, you know. And I think not only for yourself, I love the idea of people working in tandem to meet their goals. Because if you have somebody that you're accountable to, it changes everything. You know, if you're a walker and you're supposed to meet your friend three times a week at lunchtime, and you're like, girl, let's walk. And she's like, no, I don't really want to. And she's like, girl, let's walk. You know, you're probably able to get somebody to cooperate with you a little bit more. And you also feel like, listen, I know I have to walk at 12 o'clock, so I have to have my stuff together and be ready to go. So accountability is huge.
So we've heard that word for since the inception of my show. I'm so sorry. I'm getting notes passed to me today. But accountability. In all seriousness, so when you have, the first step is to have a goal, and within that goal have specifics, but also as part of that, part two is have an accountability partner. We've talked about accountability partners when we talked about wealth. We've talked about accountability partners as we have journeyed to discover who we are. This accountability partner isn't going away. And that means you have to have someone that you have such a relationship with that you trust, and that he, who can influence you to move,
Yes.
I didn't need one. I had Vicky.
And you know something, Michelle? It doesn't have to be a human being per se. You know, I love all these fitness apps. You know, MyFitnessPal, Pop Sugar, MyFitnessJournal. You know, some people aren't so comfortable just having to be accountable to another human being. Maybe you're better off being accountable to an app. And I think for some people that really works well. And I love those apps. I just think that if I have to go every single day and start logging in what I ate that day, whew, you're going to keep it on track. And I love them also because they don't just say, okay, you know, I want to be 10 pounds lighter in 10 days. How do I do that? There's information on there to keep you motivated. There are people that it links you to. And the most valuable thing about these links, and I love MyFitnessPal, everything you eat is in there. So if you're going to have a cheeseburger and fries, it's going to tell you how many calories, how much fat, how many carbs, how much protein, and where that falls in the balance of what you've eaten for that day, and that you might be done eating for that day calorie-wise. So,
but that is also a great accountability partner, because even talking to your friend, they're not going to give you those details as to, you know, you've just consumed X in calories and this is what it has done for your day. So you said it was the MyFitnessPal
is probably the most used one.
Okay.
But PopSugar.com has one. There's one called MyFitnessJournal. And if you Google, there's probably hundreds of them, but I'm partial to MyFitnessPal.
So, folks, you can not only set a goal, but you, and if you heard Vicki, you don't have to be accountable to someone else. Because I know sometimes it gets a little funny when we start discussing, you know, weight loss and where I am and where I'd like to be. But it can be up so close and up close and personal where it's just between you and the app. And so I saw it on, what is that, We game, that when you sign back into We, it would say, welcome back. No, I didn't do this right, but my nephews, when you sign back in, it'll tell you, welcome back, and, you know, where are you and where have you been? So there is this interaction that almost says, you haven't been here for X amount of days, and, you know, we're keeping up with you. And so that is just a way to keep inspiring you and driving you to have a better you. And that's what this is about. We don't know how long we have on this earth, but however long we have, don't we want to be healthy? I mean, at the end of the day, my grandmother was 105.
Wow.
And when she passed, she passed in January. She would have been 106 in February. Literally in her early 90s, the doctor said her organs are better than mine. It's her body that's failing her.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so I want you to talk about the eating component, because that's what they were referencing.
Right.
You know, we do too much, and I might as well just tell you who else is in this studio, right? We have, you know, none other than Andrea Saunders in here for her segment to come up shortly. But we talked about this yesterday, cooking. We have gotten so far away from cooking that everything goes into the microwave. Well, both of my grandmothers, the one who just passed in January and the other one that did pass, she was 96. My grandmother at 96 lived on her own in her own apartment and refused to have a microwave. Both of them refused. So I want us to hear that we've had goals around working out, but I want Vicki to go even deeper around eating. What we eat, how we eat, how much we eat.
Yes.
So talk about portion control.
So, you know, disclaimer, I'm not a dietitian.
Right.
You know, I'm not a nutritionist, but I have a little bit of common sense. So I want to just try to share this idea. So we've gotten into a situation where we talk about good foods and bad foods.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, God gave us food, so it's all good. That's
right.
The way I look at it. So I think it's not about the food. Two things, quantity, preparation, right?
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with broccoli. Fried broccoli, not so much.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with chicken. We love fried chicken as well, but it is a matter of how much you eat and how you prepare it. And in my world, and we talked about this a lot, Michelle, there aren't any foods that are off limits.
Right.
It's just a matter of controlling the amount of foods that are not going to be the best for you,
mm-hmm.
that are not going to be your best physical self, because we know how we feel, right?
Right.
We know how we feel when we have a big old salad and we have some chicken in it and we enjoy it, and we know how we feel when we have a hot fudge sundae.
Satisfying, going down.
Exactly.
But then we can't move anymore.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a huge thing for us, too, to really get in tune with what we eat and how it makes us feel, because I have that. You know, I'm not a vegetarian. vegetarian, but there are certain meats that I eat that, you know, I eat it on Monday, and Wednesday I'm still feeling the effect of that. But I'm in tune enough with my body to know that that's not something that's going to give me energy, that's going to make me the best that I can be. So I think we have to do that. So as far as eating, we're going back to those apps. You know, you put your information in and it tells you, you know, if you want to be however many pounds or whatever your goal is, how you're going to get there. And so once you start filling in that information about your food, it gives you all that great information about, you know, if this is what you want to weigh, this is how much carbs you should have. And it actually shows you if you're going over those limits.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a really, really great app. And as far as the other thing, when you said that Ted's grandmother lived, I think, on a fourth floor walk-up.
Yeah.
And I think she was in her 90s when she passed away, mm-hmm. and she would walk to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
She would walk up,
mm-hmm.
and she would cook her own food.
I can vividly recall challenging my grandmother, and I'm this teenager, and I'm like, come on, Grandma, and I'm doing gymnastics. And I said, look at this, and I showed her I could palm the floor. She was 75, and she's like, me too. And she bent down and palmed the floor. So
done, right?
I just didn't even know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. I looked at her and said, well, wait a minute. That's not what was supposed to happen. This was not your time to shine, Grandma. This was mine. But what I paid attention to then is that, you know, she always had portion control. She always believed in preparing on top of the stove. She says, if you know you're going to be hungry, start in advance.
Correct.
You know, and we are so used to going, I'm on a run, stick it in the microwave, I'm on a run, stick it in the microwave. And she's saying that that's not healthy eating. You're radiating food. Now, this is a woman that did not get out of third grade.
Mm.
You're radiating food. What part of that is good? And so I'm not telling everybody throw out their microwaves. What I am saying is pay attention. You know, one of the things Vicky said is the preparation, right? So if we take the time to cook, we can, you know, be accountable to how much salt we're putting in something. We can be accountable to the types of seasonings that we're using. And we don't have to eat like there is no tomorrow. I keep talking about the wisdom of my of, you know, our grandmothers and the folks who have influenced us. She said there will be more. You don't have to eat it all today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, portions is what I'd also like you to talk about, Vicky, because you got me in that mindset of, because you said that to me, you can have what you want, but do you have to have all of that?
Right. Well, and because really the satisfaction from most foods comes from that initial contact with our tongue. And I feel that when I'm craving sweets or whatever, you know, I eat a little bit of chocolate, and if I can get that little bit in, sometimes it's fine. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes those M&Ms with peanuts are a real part of my life, and that's the way it is. But it is monitored over the rest of my diet. And so there's 1,000 ways out there. You know, people measure their food, and people talk about meat servings being about the size of a deck of cards and all that. I'm going to leave that to the nutritionists,
right?
You know, and the dietitians. And, you know, we are probably of a generation that was lucky enough to have parents who cooked for us.
Yeah.
And so I say to people, or I used to say to people, you know what? Eat the way you ate when you were young. You had a source of protein,
mm-hmm.
you had a vegetable, and you had a starch mm-hmm. on your plate. And if you remember, you probably had way more vegetables
yes.
than you had that source of protein, and the starch was probably a little bit smaller. I got away with that when, you know, we had a generation of people that were cooking. It's a little tougher now to use that example because not everybody's mom cooked.
Right.
And
right.
So there is online, if you go to, remember the food pyramid?
Yes.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And so now there's something called My Plate. So if you go to myplate.gov, it's an actual plate, and it's divided into four. So a little less than a fourth of that is your protein. There are big spaces for your vegetables, some for your fruit, and for your starch. Mm. And it's awesome because it's a wonderful way for people to be able to visualize how much they should be eating on a plate. Mm. And it's fun for kids, too, because it's all colorful. Isn't it pretty?
We're looking at it now. It is. And so I know folks are going, well, Michelle, this is not your typical show. It is, though. I need you to hear, even if I take it back to the scripture that was read, what are we doing to the vessel that he's given us, right? So if we will clean our houses, right, our homes, our apartments, wherever it is that we live in, or some of us will treat our cars like their homes, immaculate, just, you know, there's the armor all, the tires, you know. So if we will do all of that for things that, you know, won't last, or for things that are not as important to us as our bodies, now is the time. Don't wait till you have to be reactive to a doctor's notice. Yes. You have high blood pressure. Well, you knew. you knew your eating habits would lead to that. And so the reason we're focusing on this particular W is because we make excuses as to why we don't have time for it, or we're going to get to it later. And notice I keep saying we. I didn't say y'all. We make excuses. But this action plan, I will tell you, when you stick to it, I know it for myself, when you stick to it, you do feel better. You really feel more energized. You have stamina. You're more focused. You're more confident. There are just so many pluses to when you take care of yourself. But I want to get back to Vicky and talk about how you've made fitness a lifestyle. So this is not, my job by day and something else by night. This is who you are. And so how do we adopt fitness as a lifestyle?
I think that, you know, and talking about the whole how you make changes in your life and make it a lifestyle change is to really just do things in moderation. You know, to pick something, you know, if there are five things that you want to change that you can make yourself healthier by doing that, one thing at a time, you know, just one thing at a time. I think that people have difficulties because, you know, they have five things that they want to do. And we all know if you went to a doctor and you were having issues with your medications, he wouldn't change all five of your medications at once to try to figure out what your problem was. So if you drink a lot of soda and you want to stop drinking soda, pick that as the one thing that you're going to address immediately. Become successful with that one thing, and then you can be like, yeah,
that's it.
You know, I did that thing. Let's just move on to the next thing, because this is already a habit. I've conquered that. I'm going to move on to the next thing. So I think lifestyle changes happen in small increments like that. Exercise, the same thing. Listen, I don't know anybody that can jump up their first time exercise and do P90X.
Right.
I just don't. So find something that works for you. And your lovely next speaker here was, we were talking about that. Find something that works for you. Find something that you like. Find something that you enjoy or that you dislike less than something else. And just do that. Do that. I always say walking is a great way to start exercising. It's free and you already know how to do it. And then it will lead you into something else. And that's how lifestyle changes happen. You know, you start to walk, and walking becomes something that you do every day. And you think, huh, maybe I can run. Maybe I can go to Zumba. Maybe I can do Pio. And these things move you along to the next thing. And it feels good. I think what you talked about having a renewed energy level, about having extra vitality, there are studies that say that people that exercise have higher IQs. We're not sure if you're smart and then you exercise, or you're exercising, you become smarter. But either way, you know, people have higher IQs. I think exercise and fitness and wellness make you more make you more alive, I think. You know, makes you just feel more energetic and willing to improve relationships. That's how I feel. I feel when I have the energy, I can go a little bit out of my way to maybe, you know, have a relationship with somebody else, to talk to them about fitness, to talk to them about, you know, my faith, to talk to them about the weather, about gardening, about all the things that are important to me. So I think, you know, lifestyle changes, they happen slowly. And the more slowly that they happen, I think the more likely that you are to stick to them. Because we've all watched television programs where people lose, you know, yes. 150 pounds in 6 weeks. Mm. That's a lot to ask your body, you know. Yeah. So if you take it slow and gradual and it becomes something that you enjoy, you'll have more success.
Well, thank you, Vicki, for sharing fitness and how it becomes a lifestyle. Thank you for sharing that there are goals. Listeners, we have action plans for everything, right? We have plans around how we are going to get to the next level at our job. We have plans around what we're going to do for vacation. And then for those of you who don't have plans, well, this may be the first plan that you implement. But it is to have a goal. It is to make sure that there are specific activities within that goal that you are able to measure and that you are able to celebrate when there is progress. The second thing we talked about at the top of the show was accountability, to have an accountability partner, someone that'll say, get up. And that accountability partner can be someone, or it can be an app. You heard multiple resources around how you, if you don't want to disclose this information to anyone, that you can just punch it in and then be able to log in and determine where you are and where you want to go. The other piece that we talked about was quantity and preparation. How much we eat, how it's prepared. We can't want to get better and, you know, our diet consists of soda, fried foods, sugar, and I am learning to watch all of that because I didn't realize how much salt and sugar was in everything that we put in our mouth. So, you know, adding salt is not even a necessity, but also get into the habit, I would say, of cooking. Learn how to prepare your own meals because then you take responsibility of what is actually on the food. The other piece I would tell you is when she said the lifestyle moderation, pick one thing. One of my favorite songs is Step by Step, right? I'm taking this, you know, step by step. So get on the first step, accomplish it, celebrate it, look at your progress. Stop looking up the rest of the staircase going, oh, I'm not going to make it. Look at where you were. If it was one step behind, you're no longer there. And if you made it on that step, don't focus on the staircase. Focus on the very next step. And then, you know, get on that step and accomplish what's on that step. Stay away from the staircase. Look at where you were and where you are, and then just keep focusing on one thing at a time. Vicki, close us out for this segment.
So the last thing that I would really like to say is that learn to congratulate yourself, but not with food. You know, we live in a society where when great things happen, we want to go out to dinner and we're going to meet somebody at a restaurant. So every single step of your journey, learn how to congratulate yourself. Give yourself a bouquet of flowers. Go have a massage. You know, get a scented candle. Pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't talked to for a while and share your success with them. But remember, every small change that you make in your life is going to result in a lifestyle change that's going to keep you healthier and happier and keep you around longer.
You have heard it from none other than Vicki Goins. I am ecstatic that she was in the studio with us today. It is Wellness Wednesday, mind, body, and spirit. This is Michelle Speaks on 860 AM. Please stay plugged in. Up next when we return, you've been waiting a whole month. She is back for her segment, A Lawful Truth, none other than Andrea Sanders. So stay tuned for A Lawful Truth and more around wellness.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the heart of the city, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The heart of the city with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people. unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6:30 to 9:10.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We are back from the break. Again, I want to celebrate and thank Vicki Goins for sharing how it is to be fit, mind, body, and spirit. And up now, we have none other than Miss Andrea Lawful Saunders, who is bringing us, y'all. This is her second segment, and I am excited. She is doing a marvelous work around relationships. You've got to check her out on Facebook. But here for her segment, A Lawful Truth, Miss Andrea Lawful Saunders.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm so looking forward to this. I am Andrea Lawful Saunders, and welcome to the second installment of A Lawful Truth, the segment on Michelle Speaks radio show that speaks to the definition of love, what does it mean to us depending on where we are in our lives, how it is demonstrated, and what does it require to have, embrace, and keep such a love. Those of you who know me know this, but all of my stories will be mostly centered around a man many know as Mr., and is my beloved husband, John, who has been nothing short of a blessing, hilarity, and lessons. Wrapped up in one delightful savant. Today's segment is titled, Sharing Secrets and What Do We Do With Them? As I thought about this topic for today's segment, my mind immediately flashed backwards to the very first week Mr. and I became a couple. He apparently knew before I did that our relationship was going to be super special because he invited me to his home for a conversation, and I knew it was serious when he said the following. I really like you. More than you may realize right now, but it is in that vein. I feel the need to do something with you I have never done with anyone else. I am going to share what I consider to be my secrets. There are a couple of things I need you to know up front so you can decide on your own if this is still where you want to be when I am done. I want you to be clear. I'm sharing because you need to know that I don't want anything hanging unsaid between us on my end, and I want this relationship to work on a clean slate. I looked at him and nodded that he could go ahead. He shared things that burdened his heart and soul, and I listened with an open heart. So no, he didn't kill or maim anyone, but what he shared came from a vulnerable place of hurt that he was careful not to let most people know. I was touched that he took what had to have been a huge risk for him, not knowing fully who I was going to be to him, and it was both an honor and a privilege that he thought enough of himself and us to lay it at my feet. The look of relief on his face when I told him that not only was what he shared safe with me, it was not by any means a deal breaker. He spent so much of his life holding things in to keep the peace that it took some doing to get him to continue to fully share what was in his heart until now we are in the safe zone with everything that is on our hearts. We are kind with each other when upset, choose not to yell when frustrated, well, at least he doesn't. Anyway, I can't get boisterous at times in my zealousness to be heard.
Check it out on Facebook, y'all.
A situation. And he quiets me with silence and a stare. We have our own code of communicating, and it is uber cool. We are also clear that we are never to throw vulnerabilities back in a spiteful way when we are upset. And I am thrilled to say we have kept that promise some 7 years and counting later. And even as I share this story, I am reminded of so many in relationships who do not hold fast to these sacred spaces and use secrets shared as weapons when they are angry, and then wonder why things eventually fall apart. It takes courage to go into one's most vulnerable space to speak up those things that hurts our souls. It is never to be taken for granted by the receiver. Which leads me to this. Not all relationships are meant to be sacred. We know, too, what these relationships are. We fly into commitments with people who are not committed to us in word and deed. We cannot force round pegs into square holes, so oversharing to people who are undeserving of your trust leads to disaster. Never mistake a good time for permanence. If you have to keep asking where the relationship is going, chances are it's nowhere. A man that loves you will find ways to make you a priority. Past behavior is usually indicative of future action unless the person has done their work to wellness. Before we make the commitment to get in a relationship or get married, peel away the layers of the person you are dating. In fact, peel your own layers by doing serious introspection and become clear about your negotiables. They aren't perfect, and neither are you, so expecting what isn't there is an exercise in futility. And finally, look at your own patterns. Are you trustworthy? Do you gossip horribly to anyone who will listen? Do you listen to respond, or are you really empathetic to your mate? When you show through your actions that you aren't trustworthy, do not expect sacred feelings to be shared with you. Relationships are so much more, so much about compromise and consistently doing our own work. I do not ever want you to hear my sharing in this space and think my husband and I found perfect love with zero struggles before we met each other and even while we are together. Like so many women before me and maybe some who are listening right now, I was abused horribly in a past relationship and my self-esteem took a nosedive for many years. One day soon in another segment, I will discuss in earnest the price I was willing to pay not to suffer at the hands of any man again. I made the conscious choice to journal, question, and do my work to wellness so that I could make better choices down the road. I wrote a list of what I was searching for in a mate and what I thought I had to offer, one that went beyond physical attributes. There were women who were so annoyed my husband chose to marry me. One took the liberty of sending me a letter to our home detailing how much she loved him and he would not love her back. And even while he was honest about his feelings to her, she always thought that she could make him change his mind over the years to no avail because Diva walked up, child, it was over. And we're going to talk about that another time. She was sad but wanted to wish us well since she researched who I was and could see why he chose me. I can't make this stuff up if I tried. This is just the tip of the iceberg, but what people had to learn the hard way was this. We loved each other and nobody but God would be allowed to come between us. God sent me my mister. More importantly, I was ready for him when he came. When you take the time to appreciate the gifts that are sent your way, they will continue to grow in appreciation. Let me say that again. When you take the time to appreciate the gifts that are sent your way, they will continue to grow in appreciation. Stop looking for perfection. Look for common ground and shared values, and the rest will work itself out. Until next time, always be the love, show the love, and give the love so you can receive the love you deserve.
Oh, we're not over. You just dropped all of that.
Amen.
Right, Vicki? How dare she? But in all seriousness, you know, we were talking about wellness, mind, body, and spirit, and there are so many different nuggets inside of what you have already shared. In particular, the full disclosure, the sharing, and I know we don't have much time, but I want to tackle two things since I can't tackle the six that I wrote down. The vulnerability is the piece that we normally risk the most, and that jeopardizes any future trust. So when you talked about in his moment of being vulnerable and the risk he was taking and how you received that, it made all the difference in the world.
Absolutely did. And it also opened me up because, you know, I always tell people I am the most private, public person you'll ever meet. And so what people see me share in my social media spaces, they think they know everything about my life. And then they're shocked when they realize they don't even know 0.0022%.
Right.
And so, you know, I guard my private spaces with much alacrity. And anyone who is allowed to come in that space is aware that if you breach that barrier, it's a wrap.
Right. Right.
Love still, but I'm moving on. And so when he did that and he opened up with that level of vulnerability, it allowed me to be vulnerable to him.
Mm.
So I share things with my husband that I would not share with another soul. And it's nice to have that safe space because when I'm afraid, when things aren't feeling good to me, where if you were someone that isn't quite right for you, you'll say, I don't know if I can share it with him or her because
Absolutely.
They're going to take my stuff and throw it back at me.
Right.
I can always go to him and say, babe. And he said, what's the matter? And I said, I got something to talk about. And he stops whatever he's doing. And we have the conversation. And sometimes it's difficult for me to start because he understands his wife. And he'll say, I know it's going to take you a minute. So I'm just going to sit here till that minute is up. Get it together. And then we can talk about it and understand that whatever you share with me is safe here. And in all the years that we've been together, I never once heard him say, even when he was upset with me, and Lord knows I done took him to the river. I took him to the river bank. Yes, I did. Because I can't be a little dramatic, just a scooch. And so, you know, he's not once said, you know, Andrea, when you told me da-da-da, he never did it. Never did it because he heard that was one of my non-negotiables.
Yeah.
And he honored it and he kept it. I love that man, y'all. You don't even get, listen, I will fuss about him, but he is someone who is true to his word. He's not perfect because Lord knows, Vicki, I have to send him to you for the food because we are having discussions about his, you know, hiding ham hocks behind spinach. So, you know, but he's not perfect, but he is perfect for me. And you know, that helps. That absolutely helps.
But in that, because you are both willing to share in that vulnerability and take risks with one another, you actually grow stronger through the weakness.
Yes.
Right? Through the revealing of weaknesses, mm-hmm. together you become stronger as a unit. That's mm-hmm. why you can say so confidently, nothing can come between
nothing.
Us. Right?
And believe me, we've been tested and tried.
Mm.
In the almost 2 years we've been married. Oh, they tried.
Yeah.
They tried. They tried to wiggle. They tried to worm. They tried to, you know, pull us apart. By, you know, creating rifts, and we stood strongly. My husband says this every day to me until I believed it. At the end of the day, it's just you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are grown. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Andrea, look at me. At the end of the day, it's just you and I. And I believe him because he has demonstrated it in 1,000 ways.
Wow. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you have that one, that you can look at the end of the day and say, it's just you and I. It really is just you and I.
Yeah.
The other piece that I want to tackle that was on the back end of that is you talked about I had to make sure I was well.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And so that introspective look into, well, who am I? Am I ready? Because, you know, I have my list of what he's supposed to bring.
Mm-hmm.
But where is our list of how we are supposed to show up?
Michelle, so that was probably harder than finding the man that was perfect. Well, not perfect. That was designed just for me. I realized that I had failed relationships, and I was the common denominator. They had issues, abuse, all kinds of other things. But what was it about me that was tolerating an abusive mate? What was it about me that said it was easy for them to come and find their way to me? So I had to do my work. And boy, when I started digging, I found out I was trying to be the Hail Mary and making everybody's life comfortable and give them what they wanted and never thought about what I wanted. Right? That I was willing to acquiesce and give up the things that meant the most to me. That I was never fully who I wanted to be simply because I was so busy trying to make sure they were okay with themselves. The other thing that I noticed was not one of them men loved their mothers. Not one. Mm. So I then decided to create a list of what I was looking for, what I needed. My parents have been together for over 50 years. And so what I created, and then I did a vision board. Yeah. After I did all of that. So I had to do my own work. And so the test came, you know, with someone else who was like, you know, I want to be with him. When I looked into his background, I was like, no, Jesus, no. Went in the other direction. And then I realized I passed the test, you know. So by the time Mr. came, oh, I was so ready for him. So ready for him. So people look at us and question, how the two of you end up together? You know, we thought that first segment. I mean, my husband is a quintessential nerd. I'm a diva. To see us together, it's hysterical to watch us. But we are so compatible. Like, it makes sense when you see us together in a room. And most that's because definitely. We did our work.
So it's doing the individual work. You know, everyone uses this scripture about, you know, Boaz. So I'm not going to go there today other than to say she wasn't looking for him.
No,
she was working.
I was.
Right. And that was the difference. Mm-hmm. Wasn't looking for him.
Nope.
She was working in the field. So Andrea wasn't looking for Mr.
Mm-mm.
She was tending to her father's business.
I sure was.
And so in doing that and taking care of you, trust that if God is doing everything else in your life, surely he is going to put you with who you're supposed to be with. He has not failed in anything else. Why would he fail in that area other than we think we need the control? And so the wellness component around this is work on you. Work on you first. Stop trying to fix somebody else until you've healed. Because that's what needs to happen. There's a healing that needs to happen in order for us to really become one and move forward. But until you've become one, work on the one.
Amen. And can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I did not live with my husband until I got married to him.
Say it again.
Don't make me speak in tongues up in here. I did not live with my husband until we got married. We dated for 5 years. I stayed in my own place, mm-hmm. did my own thing, and made it work.
So, let me share with you. My grandmother used to say, why buy the cow if the milk is free? Stop acting like the wife if you're not the wife. Stop acting like the husband if you're not the husband. There is something to be said about coming together and forming a unit. That is what God requires. So I am glad to have had this wellness segment with Ms. Vicki Goins and a Lawful Truth segment brought to you by yours truly, Andrea Lawful Sanders. And I am always privileged to serve as your host for Michelle Speaks. Please hit me up on MS Speaks Radio, MS Speaks Radio for Twitter and Instagram, Michelle Speaks Radio for Facebook. Looking forward to next week's show. Ladies, as we are preparing for Write the Vision, please have your vision boards already prepared. We are not doing vision boards in the workshop. We are actually doing the plan, the writing of the vision. So please come prepared. If you have not registered, your name has to be registered. So if you registered multiple people and did not turn in your names, you are no longer registered. We have 115 women. I'm looking forward to June 24th. Till next week, be well, be blessed. Michelle Speaks.